Hi, this is Steve Roost, and you're listening to Health Tech Hour on UK Health Radio. Each week, we give you the best news, views, and interviews from the health technology world. From CEOs and founders to entrepreneurs and clinicians, the companies and people that are shaping the future face of healthcare. All on the world's number one talk health radio. Hello and welcome to this week's Health Tech Hour with me, Steve Roost. Each week we bring you the best news, views and interviews with the leaders, CEOs, clinicians, founders and investors who are changing the face of healthcare in the UK and beyond. As regular listeners know, I am a founder and a CEO of a health tech venture myself called PocDoc. PocDoc is completely changing the way that we screen, diagnose, and treat for cardio, metabolic, and renal diseases, starting with what we call our healthy heart check. So in 10 minutes, we can do what takes 2.5 appointments at your GPs to do. We work extensively across the NHS and in community pharmacy. And if you'd love to hear more, then please go to pocdoc.co. That's P-O-C-D-O-C.co, particularly if you're interested in our healthy heart check. Thank you, as ever, to everybody listening live on the magnificent UK Health Radio. We love being on the station, and the station is going from strength to strength, led by our fearless leader, Johan. We really appreciate being on the radio with everybody, and we would recommend everyone to listen to all of the other shows. They have some great shows, great content, loads of other really fantastic presenters, and we're honored that the Health Tech Hour is on UK Health Radio. Thank you also if you're listening on demand on any of the podcast channels. Our numbers is really great at the moment, and we really appreciate all of those downloads, all of those likes, all of those follows. We're on all of them, Spotify, Apple, Google. Just search for Health Tech Hour and you should see my smiling face. And thank you also if you are watching any of our content on YouTube, which is the at Health Tech Hour channel, or if you follow me on Instagram, which is at Steve Roost. So there's S-T-E-V-E-R-O-E-S-T, Steve Roost, where we take today's show, we slice it up, we take the best bits and we put them out through my Instagram channel. So anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. After last week's show, I realized we're on a bit of a run here in and around the AI space. So a couple of weeks ago, we had Daniel Nathrath, who was the CEO and founder, also who is the CEO and founder of Ada Health, which is arguably the world's leading AI doctor app business. If you're interested in that space, there's some controversies about it, but it's a wonderful show. Daniel's got some amazing insights about how they scaled that business to be a multi-unicorn, so worth multiples, billions of dollars. I can recommend that. Then last week, we actually had one of the UK's leading investors into early stage AI and health tech, Jamie Tomalin from Triple Point Ventures. Now, Jamie, it turns out, is a really deep thinker, not just about health tech and AI, but also about what it means to be an entrepreneur, entrepreneurship, the journey. So if that's your bag, then I can highly recommend last week's show with Jamie Tomalin. And now on this week's show, after speaking with Jamie all about the revolutionary potential of AI, on this week's show, we have Tony Nicolaides, who is the Chief Commercial Officer of Origin AI, who invented Wi-Fi sensing technology driven by AI that is creating the future of smart health and smart homes. Tony, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Great. And where are you? Where are you dialing in from today, this wonderful day?
Steve, I'm on the East Coast of the US, just north of Washington, D.C. in Baltimore, Maryland.
Oh, nice. And is that where you guys are based?
We are based, yeah, just north of D.C. in a town called Rockville, in the what they call a tech corridor. And, okay. DC area, and Origin is based there. Yes.
Okay. So I'm not sure, we're a broad church, but I'm not sure necessarily many of our listeners would have heard necessarily of Origin. So why don't you give us just a little bit of background about what it is, where it came from, and then we can jump in with loads of questions. But maybe just set the scene a little bit.
I'll give you the origin of origin. How's that?
Do you know what? I actually wrote that down. You must get that so many times. That's how predictable I am. That's what I wrote down on my show notes.
I'm sure. Well, basically, origin, Steve, came from who now is our CTO and you know, head of the board, and that's Dr. Ray Liu. Dr. Ray Liu is a professor. He is a world-renowned digital signal processing engineer. If you're in the digital signal processing world, IEEE, those very large global technical organizations, that name you know.
Ray Liu.
Dr. Ray Liu. That's very good. He was a professor at the University of Maryland, just outside of D.C. He was doing some work for the U.S. government, and he found through that work that he could understand, and we could understand, as long as there's Wi-Fi in a space, that the way the Wi-Fi waves change and are disrupted with very large motion to very tiny motion, that can be contextualized and can be taught to contextualize what that action is. So he got to work, Dr. Ray Liu. He incorporated and spent basically 7 years from 2012 to 2019 really understanding and building the foundation for the technology. He wrote a book. It's out there on Wi-Fi sensing, and he was the inventor of the technology.
Is it like a scientific title, or is it like a clever pun?
It's a textbook. Be prepared if you look at it.
It's textbook.
It's like this gotcha. Thing.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, he used a lot of great, it's not just digital signal processing. There's elements of time reversal and physics theory. Incredible. And were heavily patented. So he realized that he could do that. So basically what Origin does is, as long as there's any Wi-Fi in a space, you could be doing jumping jacks and jumping up and down and doing what we call macro or extreme motion. You could be running, walking all the way down to, you could be sitting and breathing, sleeping. Even when you're breathing, your torso moves up and down, and that disrupts the Wi-Fi waves, and we can capture that. So all those things we can understand in a space as the Wi-Fi signal is changing with people in the space.
Okay. I think we're going to have to back the truck up a little bit, just because some of that sounds incredibly exciting / like sci-fi good. So okay. Dr. Ray Liu, he's working for the US government. Was it a secret thing? Probably. Well, let's not go into it. It doesn't matter. But he was just working for the US government. And he discovered that if you have Wi-Fi in a room or a space. Okay. Individuals doing physical movements in that space does something, impacts the signal.
Correct. Disrupts it.
Okay.
Imagine a body of water and you're in a pool, and it's as you move, that water now gets wavier and wavier, right?
Okay. And like, how did he figure out? Because there's one thing determining that there's been a disruption, right? And there's another being able to codify it and classify it and determine that, well, that disruption is this and that disruption is that. Because like when I throw a rock into a lake, I can like visually see that that's what happens. But I'm suspect it's a lot more complicated.
It is. And that's why I spent really 7 years, Steve, looking at this thing and understanding, can we contextualize? And we can. For example, a person walking through a space, or a person just sitting still, the Wi-Fi waves are, then the Wi-Fi signal are disturbed in different ways, very different ways.
Is that because Wi-Fi like an always on signal? I've never thought about it.
That's right.
It's always there.
Always there. And as long as it's there, right? I'm moving my hands right now. You're sitting there moving your hands. You're at your desk, right? You are disturbing those waves. Those waves are around us everywhere. And by the way, it's ubiquitous, right? It's everywhere we are now. Before we know it, Elon Musk will have us sitting outside with Starlink.
Yeah, so exactly. It'll be everywhere.
It'll be everywhere. So Wi-Fi is part of our lives. He got to work with a number of very smart people and said, yes, there are ways that we can quantify what's going on here, right? So that's exactly what he did. Now, how the science, I tell you, it's a, you know, that's a thick textbook. It's above my pay grade, but I can tell you that much right now in terms of what the.
But like how do they, do you know like how did, so is there like some separate like feedback loop in your technology that measures the disruption?
Yeah,
Like
so
a receiver or something, or like how does that work?
it doesn't. There's no hardware needed. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
Nothing at all. So all we're doing is there, you know, you're in a space. Let's do this. Let me tell you, this will make a little more sense. One of our key verticals are ISPs, internet
Yes.
service providers. We're launching Deutsche
Right.
Telekom on your side of the pond here.
Oh, nice.
You call
Okay.
it, right? And so our technology is embedded in the Deutsche Telekom router. All
Okay.
right. That router speaks to every connected device in your home. So let's say
Okay.
I've got now, okay, you probably too. I've got 32 connected devices in my home.
Sure.
Alexa, smart TV, speakers, all that stuff. And what happens is from the router to each of those devices, these sensing zones are set up.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
And when a person walks through those sensing zones, our technology is looking for the disruption in that sensing zone.
Oh, and it gets measured back to, on the
That's
router
right.
side, and
Back
then.
to us, to our algorithm, and then boom, we know what's going on. So
Wow.
imagine a bunch of sensing zones through your house. And by the way, a lot of homes now, I mean, even in the UK, there is, it's just drywall and wood. It goes right through
Yeah.
wall.
Yeah.
Right through wall. So there's no, you don't need to have a lot of hardware all over the place. You don't need to have any hardware.
Right. And is it, so is Wi-Fi, does Wi-Fi signal basically fill up any space? It's sort of like, is every, it's a, so it's like a gas kind of like, it's just not, well,
It
that's a
is,
terrible.
but there are,
It's
let's be
not,
real.
it's not like a singular beam, is it? Do you know what I mean? It's like every, it's sort of, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. Now let's be realistic too. You get dead spots where you're far enough away from the router that the signal is not reaching you as long as it, to the point where you are. And sometimes you need extenders and other things. But really, in the end, our homes now, it's getting to the point where it's like electricity, Wi-Fi is. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
We need it. It's part of our lives. When it's not there, it's all you can think about. It's like electricity. When it is there, you don't even think about it. So there are places where it won't extend to, and sometimes you need to get an extender or something like that. But now it's, we pretty much have it in all our homes everywhere. It's everywhere. So it's not a single like ray of laser or something like that you said. It's like a signal that extends to all parts of the home.
That sounds fascinating. I mean, like you just blow my mind, and probably the mind of a lot of people listening. So, when did Ray realize that this had like really profound implications on individuals' health, or life at large? Other than being, oh, cool, you can measure this thing. That's cool. To like, oh my gosh, there's loads that you there's so many really valuable applications of this technology.
Yeah, I mean, look, he realized once he, after the government program was done, he even left the University of Maryland and said,
Right.
you know what? I think this has massive implications in health, in residential security, in just IoT in general. That he said, you know what? I'm leaving the University of Maryland, and I'm going to go do this full time.
Yeah.
So it was in the 2000. 12 time frame that he said, I think this has massive, massive opportunity. And then it was 7 years from there that he started putting together a commercial team. Our CEO and good friend of mine, Spencer Maid, came on board. Then I came on board and we started commercializing the technology. And we could talk some of the successes we've had whenever
Sure.
you're.
Well, did you focus on any particular use cases, like when, because I mean, even at the top of the show you mentioned a bunch of different possible uses. Like, did you like drill down on any particular ones? Did you start with any particular ones? Like, where, how did that kind of come
There you go.
about?
Excellent, excellent question. So we started with two companies, one of which I can mention and one I can't, but you can probably guess. Verizon here in the US, it was our first customer. And it's similar to what I said about Deutsche Telekom. They have a product called Home Awareness, and we're in over 4 million routers. And you can download that from the Verizon app here in the US, and you'll be able to understand activity in your home. It's got this blue orb. And it gets bigger when there's more activity. and smaller when there's less activity. They have a whole roadmap to get into other use cases, but they wanted to start there. Deutsche Telekom is starting with the same thing. And then the largest light bulb manufacturer in the world, you can probably guess who they are. They're based in Europe. You can buy their light bulbs, their Wi-Fi light bulbs, and you can basically put them in a room. And they create their own sensing zone, two of them. As soon as you walk in, within a half a second in that sensing zone, the light will go on. So you don't need a light switch anymore. And then you can set the time to turn them off if they sense no motion, right? So those are the first two launches. So we started with ISPs like Verizon, and what we call smart home or smart spaces in IoT with this other company. So that's what we first started. We launched them simultaneously in 2021, right? And that was they were our first launches. And now I can talk about other launches, but let me stop there as the first use cases.
Yeah, no, that's super interesting. So you basically sort of started in like the most practical way, right? The most practical, sort of simplest, obvious places. That makes sense. Okay. And so what was your journey into Origin? Like, where did you how did you sort of end up in this gig?
So actually, Spencer Maid, our CEO, and I spent each of us, believe it or not, 30 years at Stanley Black & Decker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we were hardware guys for the
Okay.
longest, making tools for the job site, for the home, whatever. And we both had very similar career tracks in that we were in product development. We loved creating new things. And then it's funny, again, when you think about it, in 2015, we both went into the software. Stanley Black & Decker started to get into more software, non-hardware related businesses. And we
Yeah.
both ended up in those businesses, in those non-hardware related software businesses. I helped launch the first Stanley Black & Decker office in Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And then it's funny, after that, again, Spencer Maid and I, at the same time, left Stanley Black & Decker after 30 years, and we ended up right back together working in Origin. So we both came from hardware, went into software, and now we're in Origin.
Wow. Okay. Wow. What was it like being in Black and Decker for like 30 years? Like, what was that like? That's hardcore hardware product
It
development, right?
is. It's a great company, Steve. Great company, great culture. Some of my best friends are there. I still have close contact with them. It's a tremendous global company with great
Yeah.
leadership, and I loved every minute of it. Had a lot of fun, learned a lot, and then those last 5, 6 years in software, I was like, wow, this is what I want to do. I want to
Okay.
get into software. I want to be part of organizations building software. So it was a springboard to do what I'm doing now.
And how's Black and Decker doing? It's not one I'm like tracking. Are they doing good? I don't know.
They're doing well. Hardware is a tough gig. You know that, Steve.
Yeah.
And you can get commoditized easily, but I think they're doing okay. You know what? I mean, I look back on it and say, I love it. I love what happened, but I'm so focused on Origin right now, it's hard for me to look up and see what's going on in the world,
Did you so like when you started at Black and Decker, did you believe that that was going to be the place for you for like 30 years, or did that just like happen because it was such a great place to live? Sorry,
Exactly. That's
work
it.
and live probably a
That's
bit,
right,
but yeah.
Steve. It just ended up that way. I didn't think I was going to be there for 30 years, so it ended up that way, and it ran its course. I did everything I was meant to do, and we moved off.
That's great. I mean, I like there's. Are you familiar with the Jim Collins book From Good to Great? It's a great
Oh my
book.
God, yes. I have
Yeah.
it in my just
All right.
downstairs.
Yeah. It's and then he talks about like 3M in that book and
Yes.
about, you know, like the culture and the innovation and the kind of, I don't know, it was just it sort of, I don't know anything about Black and Decker, but it kind of reminded me a little bit like that, you know?
You're spot on. You're spot on in that they're very similar. 3M's, they're about, they're not, I don't think they're that much difference in size, but it's very similar culture, innovative. They used to say with Black and Decker, it's an extraordinary company run by a lot of ordinary people.
That's very humble, isn't
You
it?
know what I
That's
mean?
very, very humble.
Yeah.
Right. Tony, we are going to take our first commercial break. So we'll be back with the second part of this week's Health Tech Hour with my guest, Tony Nicolaides, who is the Chief Commercial Officer of Origin AI, who are reinventing the idea of smart home and smart health. We'll be right back after 2 minutes.
Radio. UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to this week's edition of the Health Tech Hour with me, Steve Roost, your host, CEO of PocDoc, and my guest this week, Tony Nicolaidis, who is the Chief Commercial Officer of Origin AI. So before the break, we were getting into some of Tony's history, how he came into Origin, and also the origins of Origin, to kind of, you know, use a pun. And I guess, Tony, like, where, having started by sort of this smart home concept, you know, maybe light switches, energy usage, where people are in the home, how has it sort of evolved from that point onwards?
Yes, very good. So we're in four verticals, Steve, is where we're focused. Number one, we've talked about internet service providers, right? And what's going on there. We've launched Verizon. We're going to be launching Deutsche Telekom, and T-Mobile is owned by Deutsche Telekom. So internet service providers. And that's basically our technology embedded in their router, creating these sensing zones throughout the home. That's number one. Number two is residential and small, medium business security.
Okay.
That's a massively huge market. The security market will be over $100 billion here over the next couple of years. Wow. And their biggest issues are false alarms. Okay. So let me just talk about that for a second, because this is the second vertical. False alarms. Why do they have false alarms? Because if you look at the technology in residential security, it's just a bunch of stuff you put on your walls that kind of senses at a high level, just senses motion. It doesn't know if it's you. It doesn't know if it's your dog. It doesn't know whether the curtain is moving because the heater came on. You're going to get a tripped alarm because of that. What we do in the security vertical is three words, the verified human presence.
Okay.
So that means there is a person there. And if the alarm's armed, person shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
So that's a very important thing, because we can discern human, non-human, non-human being pets, being these other mechanical things that happen. And then verify human presence so that we minimize and eliminate this massive issue of false alarms. And so I'm sure you've heard of a company called Verisure.
Yeah.
Verisure is the number, well, I bet you not soon enough, will be the number one global security company in the world. ADT is number one right now, but Verisure is right behind them. We're in the process of launching Verisure right now in Europe. We've launched in France and Spain. Now we're in the process of launching in Northern Europe. And so, and by the way, an investor in our company and a tremendous innovative partner for us. So We're launching Verisure in Europe there, being a very, very large security company. So residential security is number two. Smart spaces, okay. Like we talked about, number three. Light bulbs. Oh, you just mentioned smart energy.
Right.
Or smart thermostats. Very important. Why? I have an Ecobee here in my house, and then you have these little PIR sensors that if you like, you have PIR sensors in your office. You've ever been sitting in an office and you're working, all of a sudden your lights go out?
Yeah,
turn your lights on, because the PIR sensor loses you. With Origin technology and Wi-Fi sensing, we will not lose you. We can sense you breathing, so you don't need all this extra hardware in the house with that thermostat. So light bulbs, smart energy, and the last one is health tech.
Okay,
health tech is the last one. We're focused on the first three right now, but health tech is very, very shortly to follow, Steve. And that is, let me just give you two use cases. The first one would be, and I'm sure that you're very close to this, understanding my parents live with me. They're in the basement right now. Everyone's aging in place independently. Where they are in the home. Are they spending, last month they spent this kind of time in bed, in the kitchen, in the bathroom, whatever. This month, wait a minute, they're spending a lot more time in bed or a lot more time in the bathroom. And you can kind of do these analytics as the system learns what's going on with the person in the space. So as a caretaker, I know something's off here. It'll tell me, hey, you know what? Mom and dad are spending a lot more time not doing what they were supposed to do. That's number one. Number two, and the more difficult one, but we've demoed it 100 times, fall.
Mm.
The biggest issue, you know this, in terms of deterioration of life in the elderly, is once they start falling, things deteriorate very quickly.
Yeah,
and we can detect fall, know there's a fall. There's a lot of technology where you can wear pendants and wear things. You know, 2 to 3 out of adults elderly actually do that. The rest of them do not. You don't need to wear anything in this case, right? Again, it's just measuring.
How would it work in a full case? Like it would know. You would basically calibrate something within your system to detect if there was some kind of sudden downward movement or something, or like
that's it. Sudden downward movement, sudden stop.
Okay.
And then basically just micro motion, just breathing.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Okay. This is how we call them our engines. The fall engine, the fall detection engine works. Right. So it's taught and it comes out to our customers that way. So those are two very important use cases. Analytics of what's going on, and then fall detection.
And like, have you had any interactions with sort of like healthcare organizations or, you know, providers or insurers or anything about this type of stuff?
Oh yeah. In fact, the leader of our engineering and product team came from Best Buy Health.
Okay.
So, he knows that area very, very, that vertical very well. And there's, you know, ADT Health, Best Buy Health. In Japan, we're working with the Okinawa government in a program called Mimamori.
And
I don't know if you know, Japanese have the highest percentage of elderly in the world.
They do. I knew that. Yeah, they've got an extreme aging population.
So the government now is putting something in place because they've had a lot of deaths there of aging and elderly, and no one knows. So they have this thing called Signs of Life, and they're using our system, and we're just getting launched in Okinawa to just have signs of life.
And does that have to get regulated as a medical device? Do you know, like, what's the regulatory pathway? It's not, right?
No, because all we're doing is just sensing movement, sensing activity. That's it. We don't know who it is. Like, we don't identify anybody. That's it.
And like, what would be like the ideal kind of, like, if you take the US, like, how would it? Because everyone's got different houses, different routers, different this, different that. Like, what's the vision here? Like, how do you get this into everyone's home who's over 70 years old or whatever the kind of, you know, target market? I guess it's like over 75, depends.
Yeah, once you start aging in place, you know, you're retired. Let's call it 75, right? Because some people work for a little while, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the difficulty with the health tech versus, let's call it ISP or security vertical, is that you will need a little bit more hardware that you will have to put in, especially for fall and so forth. Okay.
You need another bit of kit.
Yeah. So, but we're business to business, B2B. So we're going to go through the company like an ADT Health or a Best Buy Health. They would sell it. They would get it into the customer's home. They would put it in whatever retail locations, whatever way it would happen through the insurance manufacturers. We don't go direct. We go through the companies in the space, and they license our technology, and they go launch it.
Okay. And so how would then it would be, because that like you say, there are other things that there's pendants and stuff, and I've seen other companies saying that they can do this type of stuff. Are they using different technology, or what's going on with those guys
Yeah,
generally?
pendants basically have, they are a different technology. It's just, you can have a pendant on it and have technology like an accelerometer,
Okay.
that will understand acceleration, but you have to have it on you. You have to have it charged. And that's
Okay.
where the discipline of doing that doesn't necessarily happen with, look, my parents have one cell phone. It's the old flip phone, if you remember that.
The
You
Motorola.
know, let's call it what it is. They're not going to be doing that high tech stuff.
Okay. I'm assuming it's not like a burner phone they've got. That'd be a different thing.
No, they're not a burner phone, but it's the old Star Trek flip phone. You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
Motorola days.
I think it's really interesting. There's been lots of stuff in the UK. Obviously, falls and elderly, like you said, is this the single biggest, I guess I would probably, I don't know. I don't know. I thought for, I think it's, I read somewhere it was the single biggest cause of like hospitalizations of people of a certain age. And it's definitely an issue. I think like how you can get that into their homes at scale and then where that data goes. So where would that, what would the back end look like? So let's say it's in everyone's homes and you've sold B2B through ADT Health or whoever these people are. Someone falls down, like then what happens, do you think?
So there's no cloud element to what we do. So there's a lot of
Okay.
privacy in the data. It all happens on the edge on the devices, and the data goes right to the caretaker. The
Okay,
data.
like via the app on whoever the person they
That's
nominate.
right. That's right. That's right.
Okay.
So it'll go right to the caretaker. So to me, if it was my parents, for example.
Yeah.
And then also we have other integrations we can do, like with Alexa and Google Home, where
Okay.
if a person falls, we connect to Alexa. Alexa says, "Hey, have you fallen? Do you need
Yeah.
help?" And you
Yeah.
can say whatever, yes or no, and call my son, and boom, I'll get a call, or I'll get it on my app.
Yeah.
So there's no cloud element. It's all on the edge. Again, there's no identification of the person. We don't identify people.
Yeah, no, and that
So
helps. I think that massively helps you,
that's
in
exactly right.
rolling this out, because you're not going to get tangled up in HIPAA or GDPR or any of this stuff.
GDPR. Yeah, we've done all that testing with Deutsch, with DT, and we've done it with Verisure. So we're very confident in the privacy element of it. But it's really just between the person's mother or father or the elderly and whoever the caretaker is.
Can you do stuff with this technology that's like technically around like reading people's vital signs remotely, or is that a stretch too far?
A bit of a stretch, right? Right now we're not focused on that use case, Steve, but certainly as we move this technology along, it could be. Let's just say it's on our roadmap, okay? But right now, I'm going to be honest with you, we're not planning on that just yet.
So there's a company, there was another guest that came on the show called Hugh Lloyd Jukes. Shout out Hugh if you're listening. And I'm trying to remember the company that he ran. It'll come back to me in a second. But they were focused on residential mental health hospitals and camera imaging in room that
Yes.
could read vital signs and movement and things like that, because to try and prevent people from self-harm or who
Yes.
were in emergency situations, because otherwise what happens in those hospitals is basically the kind of SOP is like someone walks by every 3 hours,
That's right.
right, to check on them. Whereas
That's
if you have
right.
it, so they were actually using like off the shelf hardware, but it was all to do with the algorithms and how they were interpreted and how the data was interpreted. It doesn't, it's not the same tech, because it wasn't anything to do with the Wi-Fi signal,
That's
but
right.
it's sort of like a similar kind of ethos,
That's
you know?
right. It is. And a similar use case you're trying to solve. In those cases, you're going to use video cameras and radar. Radar is very sensitive. Radar can definitely pick up heartbeat, can pick up the pulse, all that stuff. Those are technologies you can use. We're not in radar, but they tend to be expensive, and they tend to require a camera has a field of view of this much.
Yeah.
You can't put a camera everywhere in a building. So you're only going to get a certain amount of coverage. Mm-hmm. Where with Wi-Fi sensing, you have complete coverage with none of that other hardware that's coming in, like video and radar.
Yeah. So the company's called OxyHealth, O-X-E Health. Okay. Just for anyone who's interested. I think where do you think after, like, within health, do you think that there's anything beyond even like total blue sky science fiction land? Like, how far can this technology go within health, do you think?
You know, I think, you know, the sky's the limit. We're very realistic though, Steve, you know what I mean? Because we know that there are other technologies out there that can do similar things. But let's just say this, look, Wi-Fi sensing is one technology. Mm-hmm. One technology will not solve every use case, as you just highlighted in the obvious.
No.
Question is, can you bring some techs together to really broaden the use cases?
Yeah.
And we're looking at that right now, right? How do you bring a couple of different three techs together to not just do three use cases, but now you can do 10?
Right.
That's kind of the way you look forward and say, okay, how do you really make an impact here?
Yeah.
But you got to be careful there, because once you start piling things on, Steve, as you know, it gets very expensive. Hard. You run your own startup.
Well, and also, like, it, you know, you think it's never going to be an easy integration. It just adds complexity to all kinds of different things. Yeah. I think the thing in health is interesting because, you know, if you approach it from like a clinical perspective, and it's around gathering those biomarkers and those vital signs and things like that, then you need to identify the patient, or somewhere there needs to be patient identification. That creates regulatory oversight. If you're gathering actual vital signs, that creates regulatory oversight. You know, there's HIPAA, there's all kinds of different issues that you've got going on there. And so it's like, I think for me, it's more like depending, like you say, on the use case, how can we take the best of each one and make it work for the best use case kind of thing? Because, like, it may well not be that you know, that there's different ways to skin cats, basically, aren't there?
Yes, correct. That's right.
So, go on.
Right now, we have one of our strategic partners, a company called NAMI, N-A-M-I. And NAMI is working with a company called Threshold. Threshold is now launching in the U.S. and, I believe, Europe with these little smart plugs.
Okay.
Three plugs per home. You plug them in and it creates these sensing zones, and we can start doing some of these use cases. Look them up. They're in beta. They're in the process of launching Threshold. And this is through NAMI, but NAMI and Origin are strategic partners. It's Origin Wi-Fi sensing that's in there. So, you know, and then, like I said, we're also in Japan and Okinawa. So we're slowly getting into the health space.
I think it makes sense for you to stay where you are in health, right? Because I think it plays really well in falls.
Yes.
And in, you know, in that type of space, I think that makes a lot of sense. I think if you start to get into these other areas that get really, really clinical, you know, the obstacles in those spaces can be quite high, you know, and for not much more financial gain potentially in like some reasonable time frame, you know, especially when you've got all this other stuff going on, right? It's sort of, you know, why take the pain?
Steve, spoken like a true entrepreneur and startup CEO. There you go. I think you nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. And so, like, how, like, would you, whenever it's available in the US, would you presumably put it in for your parents? Is that the plan?
Yeah, mine are already in on order, but oh yeah, from Threshold. So I got to put it down here. I'm just waiting to get it. So there's a lot of demand right now. They're trying to fill the need for all of for all the US. And so, you know, I'm just waiting for my waiting for my set of plugs.
And is there anyone that says that, like, this is a bad idea, or like that this isn't the right direction of travel? Like, you know, sometimes people are like, no, that I don't know if this is like a civil liberty. Is it? It's not real. Well, I don't know what it is, right? Is there what's the counter argument here, if there is one?
You know, no one has said it's a bad idea. I think we get the opposite pressure of, why can't you do more?
Okay.
That's the pressure that we get. And Steve, you know, as an entrepreneur, as a founder, you got to be really careful there, man. You can't boil the ocean. You got to be focused.
Yeah.
You solve the problems you say you're going to solve and then build from there.
Yeah.
So we have the opposite problem a little bit, to be honest with you. So we're starting and making sure we're doing this right. Then we'll go to the next one and the next one.
That makes total sense. Makes total sense. Let's do our last commercial break in this week's Health Tech Hour with my guest, Tony Nicolaidis, who is the Chief Commercial Officer of Origin AI. And yeah, we can jump into some other things in the last part of the show. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello and welcome back to the final part of this week's Health Tech Hour with me, Steve Roost, and my guest, Tony Nicolaidis from Origin AI. Okay, so Tony, the last part of the show, we kind of kick around a few things. It's a little bit less always about the business and the things that's going on. But one question I have, I'm sure lots of the listeners have, is what is the plans for bringing this to the UK? And when would it be available? Like, what are the thoughts, timelines? Where can people go if they're interested? Like, shoot us straight on that.
Yeah. So in terms of Europe, we are in the process of launching Deutsche Telekom in the ISP space and Verisure in the residential, small, medium business commercial space. For security.
So if you're in Germany, this thing's coming, basically.
Yeah, and DT is planning to launch across pan-Europe, but in Verisure, Verisure is, like I said, France and Spain are launched. Then we have Scandinavia that's launching, and then they'll go to the rest of Europe.
Okay.
Now, in terms of England, right now, we're always looking at opportunities. If anybody is interested, please visit us at originwirelessai.com. It's the top of our funnel, basically, when we look right at whatever opportunities are coming in. Please visit us there. And we'd love to have a UK customer under our belt. We can't wait for that.
Has it got anything to do with Brexit? Like, UK is now kind of on its own, or is it not related?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, it's just a matter of, again, Steve, you're a founder. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've got to take the right opportunities at the right time. And sometimes, Steve, as you know, I'm sure in PocDoc, you've had the same thing. You've had to say, look, our resources are completely soaked up.
Yeah.
We cannot take on this opportunity. So anyway, you know, we've got to say no sometimes here and there, so we can stay focused and bring the opportunities to reality and the revenue to reality.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. You've got to stay super focused. I just know that, like, the UK is going to be crazy hot for this. And I know that there's loads and loads of interest from the NHS in stuff around fall. The thing is, there are more, here's the tricky thing about falls. They want fall prevention, right? But that's really hard. full prevention is like, well, how do you, I don't think there's necessarily a technology is like, oh, that person's about to fall all quickly. I think that's really difficult. So I think
let me throw a hint at you on that one. That's exactly what needs to happen. Because once a person falls, again, like I said, it's another fall, another fall. But can you predict it? And is there a way to predict it? And let me just say that there is. And, you know, let's just say this, that a person's, the way they walk changes as they get closer to a fall.
That's cool. I see where you're going with this, right? Like if you could track their like if you can track some commonalities as they get more likely to fall.
Exactly. So if you can track that, then you're getting in the space of fall prevention instead of, you know, reacting.
Yeah, you're just basically able to get to the person that fell over more quickly.
Yeah. Or say, or to the caretaker say, hey, something's going on with dad. You got to check him out.
Yeah,
maybe just go down there and take a look at how he's doing. And so let's just say we have a path for that. How's that?
That's a great idea. I think that makes total sense. I think with your solution, you know, it works because you're tracking effectively the entirety of someone's movement through a space. So it's like, sounds like there's like always on signal feedback in effect to create that pattern, as opposed to trying to sort of like, I know people have tried to do it through almost like video camera type tracking and then codifying, classifying. Mm-hmm. I think that's really hard to do it off of like visual cues and stuff. Mm-hmm. So no, I think that would make sense. Like if there's actually some commonality and an ability to like grade or sort of classify someone's movement like that, so that you could actually have a pretty good accuracy of that prevention piece. I think that's pretty awesome.
And you're looking for certain signs that are a deterioration in how the person is moving along. And that, it's not easy, by the way.
No, it's not really hard.
You know, Steve, that when you try to solve these problems, man, it is hard work.
Yeah. And also, like, you've got so much data.
Oh, right? My God. Yeah,
You've got so much information. You've got, like, permanent information feedback every second, right? And so, like, trying to – I mean, the way that your models work must be insane to try and kind of parse all of that into where's the signal in the noise.
Yeah, it is. And the technology is very complex. And if you just go look at Dr. Ray Liu's book, you'll
okay. I might do actually. Yeah, no, I think that would be really, that could be really game changing. Like true fall prevention, that's something that no one's ever cracked before because it's really difficult. How do you prevent it?
That's right. That's right. Or hey, get a signal that, hey, something's going on. You need to check this out. You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. That makes total sense. So switch it up a little bit. So what was it like for you going from a really solid, really large corporation into a scientifically driven startup? What was that transition like?
It's a major adjustment. Look, you know, I went from a great company, like I said, to 30, 40,000 people.
Wow, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people, right? I had all the resources I needed. If I needed to talk to somebody in sales in India, I called her. Right. I knew exactly who to call. Hey, make this sale to this brother. It was such a reach, and life was so not easy. Everything that we do is difficult. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
The structure and the processes were in place. That's,
yeah.
Let me just say that. You know, Steve, in what you're doing, that when you go to a startup, the structure and processes, you have to create them.
Yep.
You're not going to fold into something and say, oh, this is the way we do things. Got it. You got to create them. You got to find the right one for your organization and your small group, your small startup. And that was the biggest thing, is creating those processes and understanding exactly how things are done, when they need to get done. You know, everything from employee satisfaction. You didn't have to worry about that, Stanley Black & Decker. It was so big. You worried about your kind of tiny part of the world. Now right. You've got a whole organization, and you got to make sure that people are happy, they feel fulfilled, there's work-life balance, Steve, you know, in a startup,
how is the work-life balance?
Well, for the leadership team, it's not great, but you know, you got to make sure for the majority of the people in the group that they have good work-life balance. We have great things like summer Fridays after 12 p.m. during the summer, turn your computer off and go relax and take a long weekend. You know, absolutely. We try to do that. And these are the kind of things you got to be very mindful of, because, you know, if people aren't happy, they're gonna leave, and you got to hold on to a core group of people to make sure that you can move the company along. So yeah, these are the things you got to pay attention to now. It's Stanley Black & Decker. I never had to care about that.
Right.
So big.
How did departments care about that?
Yeah. Somebody else above me cared about that. I didn't have to care about that. Now it's a different story. So that's the biggest thing I learned is processes, working with, making sure that our employees, everyone's happy, that kind of thing.
And like, what was the thing that was on the tipping point? Because like, I'm guessing you probably could have stayed at Stanley Black & Decker for another however long, good time, good, knew how to do it, decent salary, you know what I mean? Like, could have just carried on there. So what was the thing that like really triggered you? Because I'm guessing there was like pros and cons and, you know, all kinds of different things and running those lists. And like, was there like one thing that got you over the hump, or was it just like a series of things?
It was a series of things. You know what I mean? It's not like life is never this, sometimes it is never this one moment, but I realized how much I loved organically building something. You're a builder. You know that people build different things. I'm a builder. I love to build. And now I'm like, wow, how can we build something in software? How can we build a company in software and do something and take the risk, bet on myself?
Yeah.
Let me get under the nice blanket of Stanley Black & Decker, you know, with $20 billion in revenue. You know what I mean? That's a comforting place to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me go see if I can work with somebody like Spencer Maid. And then let me go see if I can build something with him that we look back and say, oh my, can you believe we did that?
Yeah.
And you're doing the same thing. You're on the same journey.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs, it's an addictive thing. Is it not? It's like a, you kind of want to punish yourself a little bit. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. I think you definitely have to have the right mind. I mean, you have to have the right mindset to do lots of things. But I think with entrepreneurialism or doing your own thing, you know, you have to really believe in what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and because most people at the beginning will tell you that you're completely mental and
yes,
won't work and all of this stuff. And you just sort of have to have that belief or that well of belief that you can tap into when, you know, you have to have such an ability to self-motivate, you know, because there is nobody that will do it for you, you know.
That's right.
And like,
that's right. It's a unique person you're talking about there. It's a unique bird of a person that will have that passion and belief to do it on their own. And you're doing it.
Well,
and so that's what I wanted to feel. I wanted to feel that. And that's kind of when I said, you know what, I think I'll make the jump. And that's what I did.
Yeah. So a really good friend of mine, almost certainly won't be listening. So I can say this. He works for a very large FMCG business, very large. And he's been there his whole career, and he's brilliant and he's amazing and he's really senior. And like, he's gotten to a point now where like, I've been sort of talking to him about the stuff that we've been doing and this type of thing. And he's like, oh, you know, maybe I could do something, or maybe I could do this. And I'm like, yeah, you could. Yeah, you could.
But prepare yourself.
Yeah. I'm like, you could, but I'm not sure, you know, in year one, you might have to give up the old company card. You know what I mean? Like,
it might. Exactly right. That's the other thing, is all the great amenities you get with a big company car and a nice salary and the stock options and all this stuff. And as the company grows, the stock options immediately happen. The bonuses, the this and that, all that goes away.
Yeah.
So exactly. Prepare yourself.
Free Fruit Fridays is, you know, takes a while to get the bank balance up to be doing that. But no, I totally agree. But it's interesting. And I think the guy that came on last week, Jamie Tomalin, is this lead investor guy. He's a youngish guy in the UK, but he's doing really well in the VC space in the UK in health tech. But he's a really deep thinker about the kind of career paths and entrepreneurialism. And his thing was around, like, in the UK, you know, there are so many people that go to university. This is his view, by the way, not mine necessarily, but there are so many people that go to university because so many people go to university. There are so many people that go into finance because so many people go into finance. There's so many people. So this sort of like, have we created unwillingly this mindset of conformity Whereas actually, we all know that a large part of growth and innovation and go forward and momentum comes from starting businesses, or businesses growing, or builders, or however you want to phrase it, entrepreneurs and people being really motivated and just going for things. You know, and have we like coached that out, or are we coaching that out through the education system?
Yeah, you know, maybe that's an interesting way to look at it. Are we coaching it out of the education system? Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah, go on.
You know, and you know, it takes a, again, I'll turn it back to you on that, but I just keep talking about it. It takes a certain, not everybody can do this. This is not something that's for everyone. That's for sure. Let's call it what it is. Some people need the comfort of a big company. God bless. Go do it. Yeah. I wish you success, you know?
That makes sense. Yeah. Sorry. I was just writing something down. So I think the benefit that the US has, I think that there's just like a cultural, like you have a higher cultural drive, I think, at a generalized level than I think a lot of other countries do. And maybe it's come from like there being like a lack of, or a slightly not lack of, but like in Europe, we have a higher sort of social welfare, bracket. So like there's much more of a safety net, or like maybe it's from how the country came together in the first instance and that kind of cultural DNA comes down through. But I don't think it's a coincidence. If you look at like how many valuable companies are built in the US versus not the US, I don't think that statistic's coincidental.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I look at it as if a person wants to start a company called PocDoc, they're going to do it.
I did it. We did it.
Right, and it takes passion and conviction. And a little bit of insanity, just a tad bit.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, like, I can only imagine some of the early meetings that you guys had to go into. And you're like, we can tell what you're doing just by Wi-Fi signals.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
people are like, get out of here.
Please go. Just leave.
Exactly. You got to be just a little nuts, just a little bit.
Yeah. Cool. Well, look, Tony, thank you so much for your time. Like, we've come to the end of the show. That was brilliant. So just again, if anyone wants to find out more about what you guys are doing, where do they go?
They can go to originwirelessai.com. Would love to hear from you. Steve, thank you very much for the opportunity. Great discussion. I really appreciate it. And, you know, looking forward to chatting again in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And thanks to everyone for listening. We'll be back again next week with another show. And thanks to all of the UK Health Radio team for today's show.
Fire and ice, this love is like fire and ice. This love is like rain and blue skies. This love is like sun on the rise. This love got me rolling the dice. Don't let me lose. Still falling for you. Still falling for you. Beautiful mind, your heart got a story with mine. Your heart got me hurting at times. Your heart gave me new kind of highs. Your heart got me feeling so fine. So what to do? Still falling for you. Still falling for you. It took us a while. With every breath a new day. With love on the line. We've had our share of mistakes. But all your flaws and scars are mine. Still falling for you. Still falling for you. And just like that.